Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi. Covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad, along with Joel Coleman of Sports Illustrated's Cowbell Corner, give you an inside look at the Bulldogs on the field, the court, and the diamond. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Joel T. Coleman here with you. You could hear that one.
On Friday. We're here with you on Friday.
On a Friday morning. It certainly is.
We don't have to do that whole rigmarole where we sit here and pretend like it's tomorrow when it's really
not. There's no fourth
wall
today. It's Friday.
We are with you on this day.
So thanks for tuning in at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. We appreciate all of our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. I promise you this, if Strange Brew Coffee House was open right now, Joel Coleman would have walked in with a cup. No doubt about it.
Double fisted.
He might have done that. And so my guess is tomorrow he'll be by. And you in the morning, hey, that means it may be one of your first stops. And if you're coming up to Starkville this weekend, make sure you make a trip over to Strange Brew Coffee House to grab some a little something in the morning. Don't forget they've got delicious pastries and breakfast sandwiches as well. A lot of great stuff. It's not just coffee there. And, of course, you know, if you want a mid-afternoon treat, you just cannot go wrong with a delicious sundae, or my personal favorite, the sea turtle milkshake.
Okay, sea turtle milkshake. You just answered the question I was about to ask. What's your favorite?
Sea turtle milkshake.
And it's because we have a loyal listener that has once again been like Santa Claus, the caffeine / ice cream edition, and has gifted you and I a gift card.
Oh, okay. Well,
and I've been meaning to tell you that. But anyway, he asked me what was your favorite ice cream.
Sea turtle
and
milkshake.
And so there you go.
Yeah. I can also go for a waffle cone with some salted caramel in there. But that said, a sea turtle milkshake is just very, very good. That's the Brian Haydad weapon of choice at Strange Brew.
Or, see, I'm everywhere. Brew. I'm everywhere at Strange Brew.
I see
Brew.
That.
Like, I'm just,
oh, you don't lock into it.
No, when I get the blueberry cobbler is like my favorite. But, I mean, snickerdoodle, they have that on drip. I'm going snickerdoodle that day. They have hazelnut, going that way. They have southern pecan, I'm going that way. Like, you just never know. As we've said before on this program,
you think you're going to zig Joel's axe?
Yes, the only thing for sure about Joel is
there's nothing
for sure.
College Corner and collegecornerstore.com. Don't forget that we're going to be having some promotions coming up with them. We're going to give out some free gear. We're going to give you we're going to set up some rules for that. I'm not just going to go willy nilly with it, but it's going to be really, really cool. Some good stuff coming from them. And of course, there's always good stuff. Guys, Father's Day is coming up. Direct your wives, your girlfriends, your children, whoever, to collegecornerstore.com. Pick yourself something out, maroon and white, something brand new. Get yourself a brand new polo this Father's Day. Humble Taco. I think I'm headed to Humble Taco for lunch today. I've heard rumblings that might be happening. That's very exciting. And if that's the case, well, I'm going to be excited because that's good food. Mexican fare with Mississippi roots, a unique menu unlike any other Mexican restaurant you're going to find. And they've taken Southern classics and spun them into Mexican standbys, and they are just great stuff. This weekend, if you're in Starkville, make sure Humble Taco is on your agenda. Hang out on that large patio. Grab yourself a handcrafted margarita, a couple of tacos, some nachos. Man, they've got it all. A menu for everybody. It's Humble Taco, Starkville's newest and best Mexican restaurant. Joel T., it looked like for about seven innings there, you and I were going to have to come in here and try to have some explaining to do. But instead, it's just another comeback victory for Mississippi State. The Bulldogs get three runs in the seventh and take a 5-4 win over Missouri in a game that a lot of that's baseball in this game. Ugly win, as Chris Lemonis himself said, for the Bulldogs. But at the end of the day, all that matters is the number on the left side of the win-loss went up one.
Find a way. That's what this year – I mean, I know it's a bad team that you're playing this weekend, but, I mean, that's what the rest of this year is all about. Find a way.
Nobody goes unbeaten and nobody goes winless in baseball.
Yep.
Unless you're Mississippi Valley.
Then are they really winless?
They are 0-20.
I did not realize that they were 0-20. Yeah. Wow.
But that said, you know, they could easily win a game because it's baseball. You know, you look about – the best Major League Baseball teams of all time have lost games. And it looked like it's going to be that they're not. And what's funny, State got off with such a good start. You know, the first four hitters, you go single, double, RBI ground out, RBI single, and you're like, okay, moving right along.
Yeah, 2-0.
And then then after that, State didn't have a hit until I think the fifth, maybe the seventh inning was in that infield single. They had a couple of walks.
Well,
and that was
I think they had one hit over like a span of five or six innings there, because they had two runs on three hits in the first inning,
mm-hmm.
and I looked up in the bottom of the sixth, I believe, and they had two runs on four hits. I can't remember what the one hit was.
The bats weren't going. Defensively, they were as bad tonight as they've been all year. Three errors in the first two innings. And Christian McLeod, this has become sort of a trend for Mississippi State in that he's not great at Duty Noble Field.
I mean, he hadn't been, but you got to remember, too, I just wonder how much his start may have been different. I mean, he retired the first couple batters of the game on like four or five pitches.
He had two outs and three pitches.
And he had to get three more outs in the inning because he had two errors behind him. So he basically had to get five outs in the first inning, and he exits that inning having exerted himself a little bit. You know, he's thrown 26 pitches, I think, in the first inning. I mean, what if he gets out of that inning and only throws eight pitches? And does it change the game a little? Maybe not. I just kind of felt like he was kind of trying to push a rock up a hill for the rest of the night after that first inning. And but you're right. He has not been great at home. And it doesn't really make a ton of sense why. You would think that this is the mound he's the most familiar with, but I mean, I think we've talked about this on the show already, but it seems like he's not as good at home. It seems like Bednar's not usually. I mean, Bednar's been pretty good everywhere, but it seems like Bednar's whoa-oh moments have come at home.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just
an odd coincidence.
It may be one of those funky baseball things.
MSU's going to, you know, hey, could we be the one seed in Hattiesburg? Something? I don't know.
This is from our listener here, J.C. Dickinson. I will use this, and I will trust that you did your homework, J.C., because I did not go back to double-check you.
Mm-hmm.
But he says that in Christian McLeod's starts this year, which he now has, I think, 13 starts. Is that right? I believe that's right. 17 errors Mississippi State's made in those 13 starts. So, I don't know. He's kind of assuming that's right, JC. And again, I did not double check that, as it's midnight 30 here in Star Vegas. I'm just going to go with you for right now. But State has made a lot of errors, it seems like, in his starts, and that continued tonight. And that hadn't helped his cause any, for sure.
That's a crazy stat. 17 errors and 13 starts.
But I mean, his season's been crazy, man. He's had. I mean, shoot, he's the SEC pitcher of the week.
Yeah.
And then he comes out and
it's been very roller coastery.
Yeah.
For him. He's had some good starts, he's had some bad starts, but he has not really strung two good starts together, you would say. So I mean that bodes well for you next week, you know, when you're playing Alabama.
Now, I guess if you pitch well away from Duty Noble Field, that bodes well for Omaha if you get there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Just gotta get there. I thought this game was very typical MSU though, in that once they turned it over to the bullpen, everything sort of fell into place. Brandon Smith did give up one more run. Preston Johnson maybe pitched the best two innings of his.
He may be becoming reliever number two behind Landon Sims, like on the trust factor.
Yeah, I mean, if Houston Harding is a reliever, he's still there.
State's bullpen, man. Really rounding into form at this point, because you got Sims, you got Johnson, you got Brandon Smith, you got Houston Harding, who
I guess
is going to be a starter now.
Yeah,
I don't know. That has not been announced, by the way. But if he's not, if it's going to be Fristo, I don't think it as TBA.
Here's what I think about that, and this I could be wrong. I think if they win tomorrow and they've got the series in hand, they'll go to Fristo.
Really? Think so?
I think they're like, we've won the series. Let's just see what happens. But if they need to win the series, if they lose tomorrow, they would go to Harding. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But I think they just want to, like, look, we've got the series won. We can afford to see what he does.
Yeah. I guess I kind of feel like it's probably Houston Harding, unless, like, God forbid something happened, meant an injury to Bednar or something in the first inning or something, and you need a long reliever tomorrow kind of thing.
So. But we'll see about that. But I sort of lost where that point was going. Talk about the bullpen. Oh, yeah.
It is late, folks, so bear with us.
Stone Simmons, Cam Toler. I mean, a few weeks ago, it feels like just the other day we did that podcast about who do you trust beyond Landon Sims. And since then, three or four guys, I guess they listened.
Yeah.
And they have stepped up. Cam Toler, Stone Simmons, Preston Johnson, Houston Harding, and Brandon Smith. Again, like I said, he gave up one run tonight, but by and large, now you feel like, and Parker Stinnett. Stinnett is sort of this year's Serantola in that he gets himself into trouble and then he just strikes his way out of it. And that's what he did last weekend. So you've got guys there. You know, the bullpen depth that we talked about all offseason and then we questioned a few weeks ago has started to show up in these games. Between Johnson and Sims in the final four innings of the game, so that's 12 outs, right?
Yep.
10 of them were by strikeout. And the two that weren't, Sims got those. Johnson struck out everybody he faced.
Yep. Except for one walk. He walked one guy.
Yeah. So he struck out the side in two innings. And then in the seventh, I mean, talk about manufacturing runs. Infield hit, three walks,
score a wild pitch,
another infield hit, an infield single that scores two is an unusual thing. A lot of credit to Luke Hancock on that play, by the way. He realized what was going to happen. He realized they were going to throw to first, and he never stopped running from second base and ended up coming around to score, and that's the winning run.
Did the ball leave the infield? I guess it did. Didn't Hancock got a hit, didn't he?
Hancock?
Or he walked. I can't remember the play-by-play. Crap, here I am.
Hancock
My brain's
walked.
Fried.
Because, yeah, James gets the infield single. Then they walked Hancock, walked Tanner. DeBrule gets the infield single.
Two-run, game-winning infield single, basically. When's the last time you saw that one, folks?
Playing what? Skinner?
He led off with a walk.
He led off with a walk. So, yeah. So, here, take it to the inning. The ball did leave the infield for an out because Roddy Jordan flied out, I think. And then...
No, I thought he struck out. But anyway.
He did strike out. Tanner Allen hits it 1 foot shy of a home run. And then that's when everything else happens. James comes in, gets an infield hit, and just sort of goes... All that with two outs, by the way. So, not really clutch hitting, but clutch at bats. Taking pitches, making Missouri's pitchers work.
Finding a way. When I watch that game, when I think about that game, that's what comes to mind. It's just scrapping and finding a way. And that's what it was. It was ugly, as Chris Lamona said, but... excuse me. The Bulldogs just found a way. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters. You know, I wrote in my old Bulldog box score thing that I do, if baseball was a beauty contest, State wouldn't have won much on Thursday night, but it's not. And all that matters is you're 1-0, and you're on the path to do what you and I said that they would do on yesterday's show, and that's sweep the weekend. It's a team that you probably should sweep, and that's rare in SEC baseball. But coming in this weekend, it's three games, and you ought to win all three of them. I mean, the season's not over if you don't, but like you said, baseball, anything can happen. But on weekends you have a chance to sweep, you better do it.
Yeah.
And I thought there for a minute on Thursday State wasn't going to get that done, but they found a way, and now you're right on track to do what you need to do to stay in this SEC race.
There's no question that this team was not locked in, not engaged in the early innings there. I give a lot of credit to Preston Johnson. Him coming in is where this game sort of turned.
It did. It was, for whatever reason, he steadied the ship.
Yeah.
It felt...
The first three innings, they were just out there going through the motions at best. And then Brandon Smith came in and gave you a little bit of energy, but he did give up the run. And then, but Preston Johnson coming in, that's where the game turned. And, you know, he was dominant. Missouri couldn't touch him. And then State finds a way to get the lead. And once they got the lead, it was just a question of those of us in the press box leaning over and looking to our left to see who was coming out of the bullpen. And I honestly thought they might give Preston Johnson one more inning because he was pitching so well and just try to limit Sims to one inning. And then I remember when Sims came out, I was like, the best case scenario here would be to get 15 runs in the eighth, and so you could just pull him.
Well, the reason he didn't, one of the reasons he didn't leave Preston Johnson in is he was talking about it tonight. I mean, he told Preston be ready because I'm going to use you again this weekend.
Yeah.
And I mean, if he had pitched that third inning, I bet
wouldn't be able to do that. And that said, Landon Sims should also be available probably for Saturday. Not tomorrow, I would imagine. Or today, I guess I should say.
I don't remember how many pitches he threw, but it doesn't seem like
21, 22, something like that.
I think he'd give you an inning on Sunday.
Could easily give you an inning if you need it on Sunday. So State will try to take the series tomorrow. Bednar on the mound.
Don't you know if you're Missouri, their coaches, whenever State gets that two-run infield single on the seventh.
You know it's over.
You look down there and you see Sims heating up and you're like, well, crap.
When you hear Whitesnake, the game is over.
It really is.
Like, if you're the opposing coach and you hear that, it's over. Let's pack it up.
I know that later on down the line, whether it's a regional, super regional, maybe Omaha, I mean, it's not going to be the case every single time.
Mm-hmm.
But especially against Missouri, it literally felt like when DeBrule got the hit and State went up 5-4 that you could have just cut the lights off right then and everybody go home.
And with Sims, I know it's baseball and eventually the day will come. And you just hope it's not in a high-pressure situation. But the day's going to come where he gives up some runs and gives away a lead. It's going to happen. It happens. But I don't know that there has ever been an MSU player in my life in any sport that I was more confident in when he's doing his job. Not Scott Westerfield kicking field goals, not Dak Prescott going back to throw, not, you know, Timmy Bowers on the free throw line or Lawrence Roberts down on the low block. Never.
Jake Mangum getting a leadoff singles up there.
It's up there, but I mean, he.
But you're right. Sims
comes in and I'm like, I can start writing.
Yeah.
All right. This. I mean, that should be every MSU beat writer should be saying the same thing. First off, saying I don't have any friends, I'm here for money, but also when Sims comes in, I can start writing my story.
Well, I mean, it felt like that last weekend in the extra inning game against A&M. They bring in Landon.
It's like, how are they going to?
Win? A&M's not going to score, so it's just a matter of
State gets a run.
Yeah.
And you know, that simple as that. So. Tanner Allen tonight, by the way, I think he was only 1-for-4.
Wasn't it?
Three of his outs were hit hard. Two were line drives, and then the other one was
a homer.
1 foot short of going out for a two-run bomb. Off the bat, I thought it was gone. I'm from where I stand, and I have to stand in the press box to be able to see. As soon as it came off the bat, I was like, "Well, he did it." And I'm sitting down. I was sitting in my seat going to type, "Tanner Allen's done it again." And then I realized that it didn't get out.
Did you see
a good defensive team, by the way, Missouri.
Did you see the fans in right field?
He walked
down the wall getting high five. That's cool to me. I mean, that's just...
It's part of Diddy Noble, man. It's part of the allure. So
I mean, they're probably giving him crap all game long, and he makes a play like that, and they're like, yeah, we're going to give you some love for that one.
Really, really good win for Mississippi State to come back and get that one. I think now they'll probably go into cruise control a little bit and grab this series tomorrow behind Will Bednar. And then we'll see what happens on the Saturday game. We'll see who gets that start and sort of take it from there. But we'll see.
You'd like to see State be a little better offensively the next couple of days.
Well, offensively and defensively. You know, you, three errors, not getting it done. Yeah.
To me, we said this earlier in the week, but that defense, man, when you start playing College World Series caliber teams, that's going to cost you.
Well, think about the decision on the delayed steal to throw. That's Logan. That's a little hubris there.
Yeah.
I think that's Logan Tanner saying, "I can get him."
And I think there were two strikes on the batter.
There
at that
were
point, too.
Two strikes. Just throw the ball back to the pitcher and get the batter out, and that's that. Instead, you throw it on a second and you give up a run. I think that's just Logan Tanner saying, "I've got the arm to get there," and he didn't in this instance, and then gives up a run. So. A little smarter, a little cleaner defensively, and this was a much easier game for Mississippi State. As it is, they had to fight and claw to the last second.
You know what the mark of a good team is, Brian?
They find ways to win.
When you can basically suck for seven innings and you still find a way to win.
And what do I always say about coaches, man? Nothing a coach loves more than an ugly win.
Yeah.
And we won the game.
And it was win number 100 for this coach.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in just a second. But when you can win the game, but I've still got lessons to teach.
Yeah.
I mean, Nick Saban lives to win close. I think Chris Lamonis probably does too. And like you mentioned, the fastest coach in MSU history to 100 wins. 100 wins in 130 games.
Were you on
I was in there. I wasn't on the Zoom. But
it was pretty funny. I had
a Polk. They say his name's on the stadium, though.
Yeah.
He said that he and Polk, they give each other a little grief every now and then. So, fun stuff.
That's got to be. I guess it's not tough, and Chris Simonis feels like the guy that could handle it even. Mm-hmm. But to have the two guys that
yeah,
I mean Cohen and Folt right there, yeah. And that's gotta
just go get Pat McMahon and see what happens.
Yeah, he's the guy.
I'm hanging around.
Yeah. So anyway, you got the only baseball coach to play for a national title here, and Ron Polk, who basically made SEC baseball.
Imagine
what
if Bear Bryant was still alive somehow, and he was just hanging around Alabama with Nick Saban there. It would drive Saban nuts. He could. I don't know that he could handle it. He'd be like, "You've got to go." But Lamonis is the most laid back guy I've ever dealt with in the coaching. And Hallen's pretty laid back, but Lamonis takes it to another level. I literally, like last Saturday or last Sunday, when I thought he was getting thrown out, that's one of the few times I've seen him angry. That he got angry. Didn't he? It was in Omaha that they were getting on to Ethan Small. Was that in Hoover? I don't remember. Whether they were saying he's throwing an illegal pitch or something, and he got angry about it. But it's very rare.
I think he was a little bit unhappy at Carolina last weekend.
Last weekend, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So. We'll see. All right, let's move on over. We got a couple other things to talk about. That's brought to you by our good friends over at Welcome Home Beef. Ooh. This weekend, make sure. What?
My eyes just started burning all of a sudden. I'm feeling that 1 a.m. burn, I guess.
You know what that is? That's you just close your eyes and you're by the grill, and the smoke coming up off the grill got into your eyes there. And what's on the grill? A delicious ribeye steak.
Ooh.
From Welcome Home Beef. And look, this week. And I think all next week, and I'm going to be cooking some of these next weekend. So if you check it out on social media, they're going to have the beef ribs, the back ribs on special. That's some good eating, and it's a good cook. It's not difficult to do. Definitely recommend you guys giving them a call and checking that out. Call them today at 662-268-8148 or visit them online at welcomehomebeef.com. Welcome Home Beef.
It just tastes good.
Make sure Two Brothers is on the agenda this weekend when you're in Starkville. Go by there. Don't forget, though, it's not just barbecue. Don't call it Two Brothers Barbecue. It's Two Brothers Smoked Meats, and they're putting those smoked meats to good use. Just not just in your typical preparations of barbecue. Man, they've got a lot of different options there. Tacos, sandwiches, burgers. It's all over the menu. Head over to Two Brothers. Great patio. The weather is going to be fantastic all weekend long. You know you want to get out there and enjoy yourself in the heart of the Cotton District. 621 University Drive. That's where you'll find Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Advantage Business Systems wants to take care of your business the way they've been taking care of other businesses in this state for nearly 50 years. They treat everybody like their neighbor because that's what they are. They're a Mississippi business through and through, and they want to help their fellow Mississippians. 50 years of experience, guys, that you can't go wrong. You know full well that they are doing the job right. Call them today. Find out what they can do for you. Find out how you can get more profits with less problems. You do it with Advantage Business Systems. Call them today at 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. You'll find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. From the file of I'm Surprised, DJ Stewart will go ahead and stay in the NBA draft. All indications are now he has hired an agent. I got to tell you, Joel, this one caught me off guard. Did not expect that at all. Expected DJ Stewart to return to Mississippi State and be part of a really good team. I'm not the most religious reader of mock drafts, but I do keep up with some of them, and I have yet to see DJ Stewart in any mock. Somebody tweeted me one, but I don't know. It was not from a website I don't think it was from one of the ones I've normally look at. We've talked to some people around Mississippi State and around basketball. They were really caught off guard by this decision. I think maybe nobody more caught off guard than Davon Smith, who I think we can easily agree would still be at Mississippi State had he known DJ Stewart was going to leave. Puts MSU in a little bit of a bind because now they'd really need to hit the portal and grab not one,
but two.
But two guards at this point. Joel, I say this, if a man wants to leave, if he wants to go and make his living, you know, and you can make a great living playing basketball across the world, right? Not just in the NBA. You guys in Italy and in France and places like that.
Tyson Carter and others are doing it right now.
In Greece, they're making good money. And if that's what you want to do, if you're tired of being in college, ready to go start making some money, I get that. But DJ Stewart is a guy, you know, with Tyson Carter, I never saw him as an NBA guy. Good college player. And sure, overseas, you know, the overseas, the perimeter game is very strong over there. So Tyson Carter fits that mold. DJ Stewart's a guy, like, he has some NBA tools. You know, the mid-range jumper, the ability to get to the rim. He's a good defender. He's got length. this is a guy who could play in the NBA. He could have a role in the NBA.
Yep.
But I didn't think after this one season as a you know sort of the alpha dog that he was ready. I thought coming back for another year, of which he had two more years, not losing any leverage there, he would have been best served. But that's not going to be the case. How surprised were you to learn that DJ Stewart was heading out to stay in the NBA draft?
I mean, floored. I don't like the game where people sit around and say he shouldn't have done this or whatever. I mean, look, it's DJ Stewart's life. He's the one that's got to live with any decision that he makes. He knows whether he's done with school mentally or what. I mean, he knows all that. I don't know his circumstance. But from the outside looking in, knowing the things I know, which are many of which are the same things that you all listening know, I don't get it, man. I don't understand how he could look at his body of work and, I mean, look, these guys have the internet. They got phones. They got this stuff in there. They can Google mock drafts. I mean, you don't have to rely on everything that you, I mean, it doesn't seem like to me he's a coveted NBA prospect at the moment. And like you said, I mean, you can make money playing basketball in other places, but if your goal is ultimately the NBA, which if you remember his announcement he made when he said he was going to enter the NBA draft, I believe that was that was what he said, right? That was his dream was to play in the NBA?
Yes.
It just doesn't feel like this is the best route to do it. But
And you talked about the coaches. I mean, you get feedback from the NBA. The NBA feedback could not have been stay in, you're a guaranteed draft pick. Could not have been. So he's going against that. And if you want to bet on yourself, that's fine. I get it. But this is a decision that, you know, I mean, this is a life-changing decision. And all indications are he's already signed with an agent, so there's no coming back from this. For MSU, you know, it looks like their pursuit of Rocket Watts is going to miss out. The guard from North Carolina State probably up next on the list, but they've got to find another guy. And I don't know. Good news is the portal is full of guys. So, you know, there are guys to go out there and look at. But yeah, I think if I'm Ben Howland tonight, I'm probably pretty disappointed because you had to think you were going to get your leading scorer back.
Well, I hope I'm wrong, and I hope DJ Stewart does get drafted or, you know, at the very least gets a big opportunity overseas, and maybe if he wants to be in the NBA, works his way to that. But, I mean, I'm by far no NBA basketball expert, but it just seems like a stretch to think that the decision he made is the right one. And I really hope I'm wrong. I hope he signed with as he signs with an agent that he hits it big, and I hope in a few years we're sitting here tracking DJ Stewart in the NBA and he's a superstar. That'd be fantastic. But as we sit here today on May the 14th, now, as we said earlier, it's past midnight, so it's just tough to envision that right now, but hey. Stranger things have
certainly happened, but this would be up there.
And like you said, too, it really hurts Mississippi State at the moment.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, it bears mentioning, though, Ben Howland, what were we saying about this roster a few years?
He keeps finding guys.
Yeah, so. I mean, you got to, at this point, just kind of trust them to find some pieces to keep this team competitive.
I started looking at things differently a few years back, something Vic Schaefer said about when Jordan Danbury returned. He's like, I just added 13 points per game to my team. He's like, do you know how hard it is to do that? And I had never really thought about it in terms of just, you know, the raw numbers. But Mississippi State just lost 17 points per game.
Yeah.
They got to find it somehow. They got to replace it. We'll see if they can do that. It's going to be tough to do. It's going to be tough. Yeah. We'll see how it goes.
Well, maybe you do some of that with just
well, I mean, one guy will come in and give you,
like, Garrison Brooks comes in and that he can provide you a little more offense than Abdullah Du gave you.
True. And DJ Stewart provides offense that you really weren't getting last year from Cam Matthews early in the season. Fountain was providing some towards the end. Basically, State wasn't getting anything out of the three position until the final five or six weeks. So we'll see how that goes. One last thing before we get out of here. We would be remiss not to talk about this women's golf thing. We had Coach Charlie Ewing on Sports Talk Mississippi.
And I talked to Charlie Ewing, and you can find the article at cowbellcorner.com.
Charlie Ewing, the MSU women's golf coach, but he's only the second best golfer in his family.
Yeah.
And in case you don't know, he's married to the former Allie McDonald. I should use that. I love this term, you know. Allie Ewing, nay McDonald. But that said, you know me. I love to bash on the NCAA. I think they're a bunch of morons. They never get anything right. They always are reactionary and not proactive. And I firmly believe it. I said this on Sports Talk, and I'll say it again here. This wouldn't have happened in the men's tournament.
Nope.
There's no question in my mind. What we saw from the women's and the men's tournament for basketball and the discrepancies there and how just chill the NCAA was about it until they got called out to the point where they realized they had to spend $1 million on a consulting firm to write a 5-sentence apology, which basically said, yeah, we screwed up, which I could have done for I would have done it for, you know, $100. There's just no question in my mind that this is the case. And I get, you know, that women's athletics, that not moneymakers, by and large. Even the women's tournament, not a moneymaker. But if you're going to do these things, you got to do them the right way. And I hate saying the right way, Joel. I don't know if you're aware of that or not. I have a little PTSD with that. But you got to do things the right way. And you can't just pay lip service to things like equality in these situations. Like, you know, when you're the CEO of a rubber band company, sure, you can pay lip service to equality, because who cares? You make rubber bands, right? When you're in the NCAA and you're the face of all these college athletes and you talk this good game about serving your student athletes, and then you don't do it, it's ridiculous. Your analogy, by the way, was fantastic. And if you want to repeat that here about the college baseball suit.
Okay. Let's have a super regional up here in Starkville, right? Well, I guess that's probably not the greatest example because everybody would be excited if the higher-seeded team then got pushed on. Yeah. But
you too, do we get?
Yeah, if the NCAA in a super regional, there's a little bit of rain. And, yeah, the field might have a little bit of puddle on the warning track or something. So, but it's playable. It's just not playable maybe to tip-top standards. And the NCAA waltzes out there and says, there's a little water out here. So, higher-seeded team, we're just going to send you to Omaha. We're not going to throw a pitch in this series. We're not going to play the Super Regional. We're just going to send the higher-seeded team to the College World Series. That's exactly what they just did.
Yeah.
They just did that to the women. And there were 12 other teams down there, and Mississippi State was one of them that I really do believe.
They're
playing
well.
They had a solid chance to finish in the top six and go to the NCAAs. Solid may be understating the chance that they had. I mean, I really think they would have done it. But we'll never know because they went down there and I guess, I don't know what hotel they stayed in, but I was talking to some people involved with the golf program over the course of the last couple of days. I think one of the days down there, they couldn't play on the course, but the team was able to go to Topgolf. I mean, there were times over the course of those days they could have played.
Yeah.
And there was Wednesday when the literal leader of the committee waltzes down the steps and says, hey, the course is playable.
But
not at a championship level. So 12 teams, some of your careers, they're going to end and you're not going to even get to swing your club. See ya.
If there's one thing we've learned, Joel, if there's one thing you and I both know, never trust a man who talks about a championship standard. All right? That's fool's gold.
I like that man, though.
I do like that man, but I'm just saying, this championship standard is fool's gold.
Well, it sure was in this instance.
And I mean, this is another one of those things where the NCAA, I mean, there's no empathy. There's just like, you know, hey, I'm not taking any questions, but it's over. I got to go.
Yeah, well, I'm just
get on my plane back to my university. When you and I, in our lives, when something comes up, when we have a problem, we look for solutions. They didn't seem to look for solutions. You know, when it got late in the day on Tuesday, and they realized this is a problem. Well, who are they calling? What are they trying to do to fix it?
That's what I would love to know. What was your process here? Yeah. What were you doing to try to do all that you could?
They were trying to pray.
I guess. I mean, like, I get it. It stinks. But if they could document to me that they were working day in, day out, hour after
hour,
trying to get this thing
done. We called all
these
golf courses. We tried to move the tournament here, there, and everywhere, and we just couldn't find a
And that ain't what happened, because if they had done that, they could have got it in. You can't tell me that they couldn't have – I mean, worst case scenario, you move the regional or something. You find a course.
They were found a way. So
that's better. Just letting people compete and see who moves on is better than just saying – 12 of you, heck with you. We're just going to send top six seeds on. We're going home.
They're not biased. They're just incompetent.
And isn't it like 2 weeks till they play? Like, they had,
they had 9 days.
Had all the stinking time in the world.
It's not like, it's not like we got to get this wrapped up because they're going to play the next round tomorrow. They had time. It's just.
And the NCAA, what's the line on Armageddon? I mentioned the Armageddon movie, The Rumblings, the other day, but there's a line where Bruce Willis says, "You're NASA, for gosh sakes. You got folks that are hired just to make crap up." Well, they're the NCAA. They make crap up all the time.
And they make their own rules.
Yeah.
And they change the rules as they want to. They have no oversight.
Yeah.
They could have just said, I know it's supposed to be over by then, but we're going to wait till Friday.
Yeah.
But no. Nope. Just shut it down. Just shut it down. So,
and I'll tell you what, I don't know if Charlie Ewing is a listener to Thunder and Lightning.
Well, he should be.
But he should be, as everyone should be. But as I was talking to him today, and I mean, he was
and
very
if, when
honest.
He came on the radio, if he had just been like, you know what, F this, I would not have begrudged him that.
I know, that's kind of what I was thinking. He, in such a very professional way, handled every question and gave me sheer honesty without... I don't think his pocketbook had to get any lighter with how he handled it, Y'all were talking to Chris Lemonis the other day, and he was talking about on the big show about how he couldn't say anything about the South Carolina ejection of Scott Foxhall or whatever because he didn't want his pocketbook to
get
lighter.
Same with Mike Leach, you guys want to give me $25,000, I'll tell you whatever you want to hear.
Well, Ewing handled that so perfectly with me and apparently with y'all. I didn't hear him on y'all's show today, but... Just, I don't think he has to worry about paying anything, but yet was still able to give us the truth. And man, I hurt for the girls that their careers ended and they didn't get a chance.
Not on their own terms.
It's
basically
one thing if you shank a putt or something and you just lost.
You're just walking up 18 green and you're 10 strokes off the lead and you're just looking at it, this is it. This is my last walk up the green. You can come to terms with that.
Somebody's career ended at the foot of those steps. With those.
The NCAA serves our student athletes. Whatever. Jeez. All right. Back with you guys on Sunday afternoon. We'll talk MSU in Missouri. We'll wrap the series up, and we'll have a few other things next week as well. Guys, have a great rest of your weekend. Back with you very, very soon. For Joel T. Coleman,
woo!
I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
A Super Talk Mississippi media production.